What's up, friends? Hope you're all doing fantastic tonight. We're trying something new tonight, so bear with me a second while I get this going here live on YouTube. Perfect. So what we're going to try tonight, because I really have been kind of thinking about doing this for a while, and I want to test it tonight to see how it actually works and simultaneously hopefully bring some value to you that you're watching. I am on Zoom right now. And I'm going to put this link, here to the Zoom call. And what I'm hoping to do, if all works out okay, is I want to bring in people live on the actual Zoom call and stream it on here. So like you can ask questions and I can kind of answer them and we can talk, but the people watching on YouTube can see the call. So I want to try this and see if it works. So I would love to offer my good friend Alex Miner the first opportunity if you're around, because you are a support channel and I super appreciate it. And then we could also test to see if it actually works as well.
Well, how are you
Something's
doing,
happening.
Man? You look like, look at, you're like a professional there, like ready for a radio show.
Oh man, I've been doing so many podcasts lately.
Awesome,
and podcasts and Zoom calls and all that. So like I stay ready, you know. GH5 right here. I have to do a office tour video sometime just to show people what my Zoom call setup is like.
What anything I could help you with personally? Like what you got going on right now that maybe I could provide some
Well, value. I wanted to ask you about. I know you do some ad management and stuff. And I wanted to know, like, what since this whole thing happened. I mean, I know you get a lot of your leads from LinkedIn and things like that. Mm-hmm. But are you still running ads for yourself on the Facebook side or Instagram or any of that? And what's that
so
looking
you mean
like for
you? Personal stuff, like by personal ads, or you're talking about like business ads?
Business ads.
So I haven't run anything. I mean, I honestly haven't run ads for Scaling Creative ever, like from the day that we've even started in terms of like actually running ads for the company. All of the work, like you said, kind of does just come naturally from like LinkedIn and the content that goes out. So the only real ads that we used to run on a regular basis or that we have like really only ran the last maybe year and a half has been more of like the wedding company, really like Instagram and Facebook style ads. We run tons of ads obviously for our clients, but right now I'm kind of at like a capacity of how much new work I can take on versus how many people are currently like staffed that I really for the last year haven't run any ads because I kind of am like afraid of like, okay, well if I spend all this money and it does great, well, if I can't take on the work, it doesn't really do me much good anyway. So it's I kind of have been in like a not really trying to actually actively promote my company because of the fact that it's, you know, it's not possible for me to just take on unlimited work. So we've been fortunate enough that like all of our work has come from just content that I've put out over the last, you know, bunch of years. And that's continuing to be the case. And that's, you know, free marketing, which is the best part. So it's like the best stuff I can put out because it doesn't cost me anything. But so, yeah, I really haven't run anything over the last year since I launched Scaling Creative. I really haven't run any actual ad placement for that company.
I'm kind of in a funny place. Mm-hmm. Where like right now I'm getting some work and I'm happy for the work and I want more work. Not exactly sure how much I can actually handle. You know, I don't know what capacity is for me right now. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm kind of in a weird place not knowing whether I need to really start promoting a whole lot right now or because I mean, I want business to keep coming in, right. Obviously. But I kind of don't know what to do. If I should be I'm always putting out content,
right?
Like I'm trying to, you know, stay steady on the LinkedIn. I want to get back to putting out more content on Facebook. Mm-hmm. because I have seen some leads and stuff come in from like posting in local business groups and things like that. You know, kind of staying in touch with some local organizations and things where it's helped get my name out there a little bit. But I just don't know. Like, I don't know how to really judge how much would be too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard too, because you, like you said, you want to make sure that you keep growing, but if you're not, it sounds like you're probably not doing a good enough job of managing like your tasks that you have and keeping track of like what bandwidth you have available. Because like that's, you know, for us, for example, the only way that we determine if we can, number one, take on more work, and then more importantly, if I need to hire other people, is all by using like task management stuff like Asana, where we can really keep track of, here's all the tasks that we have, here's how long they all should take, and do we have the manpower to do it? So like what we, you know, that, and that's why we use Asana really powerfully, is we can allocate tons of tasks, and I put like an hour behind them in terms of how long I think they should be. And then as I start to allocate them to people, like whoever's editing, it allows me to kind of see what they call workload. So I can kind of say like, hey, here's all the tasks we have. Here's all the people that I need finishing these tasks. And if everyone always is at this point where they have tons of free time, then usually it's the indication to me like we need to get more work and we don't need more people. And then vice versa. If I feel like we're at a stage where every single week everyone's schedule is entirely full, well, then I know that I can't take on more work without taking on more employees. And so I kind of go like that route instead. But it all comes down to like just proper planning and tracking of time, because it is hard when you start, because you want to obviously just take on as much work as possible because you want to build the business, but you also can get yourself in trouble because if you take on all this work and then you're like, cool, this is great, I have all this work coming in, but like it's just me, and how am I ever going to actually finish any of the work? Like that obviously that hurts you in a big way as well. So it's important to kind of really try to keep track and plan out your week and utilize some of those things. And even if you don't use Asana, but something like Trello or something that really keeps you organized. I don't know if you use any sort of like task management software at all, but I would definitely recommend using one. It's super helpful.
Yeah, I've been dabbling with I think it was Trello. Mm-hmm. But I haven't gotten, yeah, I started experimenting with Trello, but I haven't figured out like a solid workflow where it's like part of my everyday thing. Which I guess that means that's what I need to be doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's doing. Super important. There's just no way that you can keep track of anything, your time, other people's time, how much work you need, or you don't, like, it's just really hard because you're just every week just kind of editing what you have, and you're like, maybe I'll get some more work and maybe I won't. And so you'll kind of always be in that limbo of never knowing if you actually need to. And then the other way, obviously, that you should be able to continuously just tell like if you're growing or are you growing at all and how to grow more is like to just obviously keep a lot of track of your actual like just revenue and income, obviously, just to be able to keep track of like if you see a steady revenue growth nonstop, then usually it all kind of also tells you, regardless of what your capacity is at, it means that there's more money coming in, and it might mean that like it's time to think about having some extra help. Or Or if you just, you know, feel like if you feel like you're ever sitting around as a business owner, you need more work. that's ultimately like the best way that I would put it. Because as a business owner, and especially a one-man operation, you definitely you'll never feel like you're sitting around. And if you are sitting around, it definitely means you could just get more work and get more work. And then stop taking work when you feel like you're just not at that, you just can't, you know, obviously be able to keep it going. That's kind of, I think, the best thing I could kind of say, because it is tricky at the beginning, and it's not like there's no secret hack of like, here's how you exactly when you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And I did have one other question. Like when you get kind of to the point where you're at, where, you know, the business is kind of to point where work keeps coming in, you're able to hire, you know, you're able to hire people to manage the increasing workload. what is it that you find yourself needing to do the most to keep the business going? Like, what is, as the owner, as the guy who needs to make the plan, like, mm-hmm. where are your priorities on a day-to-day basis? Because, I mean, I know you love to shoot. I know you love to, like, be doing the creative things. But as the boss with the staff to help you manage the creative things, obviously, you can't do all the creative things. You need to be doing the business things. So, like, on the business side, like, where are you, like, what is your day-to-day focus?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And I think that's something that's really important to actually realize that my answer is not necessarily the answer that I give to you, because my answer is simply that as the owner or the person that ultimately decides what to do with, you know, my time, it's most important for me to actually do what I think that I do the best in terms of what can help grow the company. So my time is spent very little actually shooting and editing. And it's going to be more in, like, I am in charge of getting, you know, all the work and meeting with clients. And I meet with the clients to pitch different ideas of, you know, what we're going to do this month and what we're going to do next month, and evaluating stuff that they want to grow in and all that kind of stuff. And then I get it to my editors and shooters to actually really execute on the work more than anything, because I feel like I can do a good job of training people to actually shoot and edit. But my biggest skill set and where I feel like my time is most well spent is actually, like, getting the business and managing that relationship and being able to, I think my biggest skill set is just, like, the ideas and the things that come out of my brain for, like, helping people create more content. And so, but it doesn't mean that I'm the one that ends up creating it. It's like, cool, so I mean, we're thinking this, and what about this, and do you like that idea, and cool, that sounds great, perfect. Well, I'll make sure that we, you know, get on that, and then whoever's kind of in charge of that client or that month or whatever on that specific client, then it's kind of getting them to do the actual execution of what I talk to them about, rather than me actually spending most of my time shooting and editing, which obviously can end up feeling like it's really, like, time consuming, and then I'm not actually doing the things that I feel like ultimately I really should be doing. But if you're an owner that is incredibly creative and you love being creative and you really don't like the business side, then you need to hire someone that does more of the business side and not the opposite, because you shouldn't just naturally feel like you need to be the business person because you're the boss. At the beginning, obviously, you have to be everything. But as soon as you get to your first stage of actually hiring someone, the most important thing you need to do is actually hire someone that takes away the stuff that either drains you of energy or you feel like you, someone else could do better than you. You know what I mean? I think that that's the biggest key to me, is actually just is hiring people that really benefit what you're trying to do. I think that that is just so, so much more important.
Hello.
Yeah, now it is. Hey, man.
You hear me? Hey, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Not too bad. You know, I'm on break at work right now. I'm somewhat of a photog, somewhat of a television director. So, like, I say, ready camera one, take camera one, switcher, all that kind of stuff.
Cool.
And I've kind of realized that don't have a love for news. Mm-hmm. I'm more of a creative. And when my day-to-day in my 40-hour week is mostly doing work that I don't love to do, and I'm not, like, scratching that itch that mm-hmm. I probably should try to figure out something different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of just, I don't know where I need to take the next step, because I've tried to apply for places, and I have some contacts that could probably get me in on some commercial shoots but, like, in general, I'm like, I do weddings on the side and whatever kind of work I can get, but it's not necessarily it's not consistent.
Yeah.
And I don't really know where to take the steps, because it's so easy to get comforted by, oh, I have a steady paycheck.
Right.
Oh, I have a lease. You know, it's like, I need to be locked in. But, you know, I'm young still, so I'm 26. But, you know, you get kind of locked in.
Yeah.
And it's easy to watch the years fly by, and I don't really know where the next step really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the biggest recommendation I could give you would be, you know, you obviously have to be able to put out content or be able to showcase the stuff that you're doing. And obviously in a news setting, if you're obviously working with a big team and you're not kind of the head of the of a specific shoot or a specific edit, it's kind of going to be hard for you to just really show like, here's your capability, because obviously for any other job other than news, it's like the what you do in that director's seat is obviously going to be different than other type of work. So the best recommendation would be for you to just work on trying to figure out how you can put out a lot of content yourself. So through YouTube or different platforms and just shoot things. Like obviously weddings are one side of it, but you just really have to shoot as much as possible because you have to get people to see what you're capable of. And it doesn't matter if you have no work whatsoever to do, then make a short film about nothing. You know what I mean? To just be able to showcase what you can do, because no question about it, if you want to get out of the area that you're in or whatever, and you want to get into any sort of creative field or creative job, you have to be able to showcase like, here's what I can do. I shoot and I edit. Like that's, you know, when I look for people, same thing with applying. It's a, you know, I want to see like something that they kind of did themselves rather than, you know, you can only really show so much new stuff. Cause it's like, that's only one little portion of that is actually you. So it's like it, the good thing and the bad things, they don't lay on you. So it's like I would really try to build up just your reel or just something that kind of showcases what you want to get a job doing.
I'm really happy with my content, and I do think that it is comparable, if not exceeding, everyone else in this market, which isn't the largest market for weddings. But I just don't know if, like, where to, like, with all COVID and stuff, it makes me worried that maybe I need to just bunker into what I currently am doing until this passes.
No question. I mean, right now might not necessarily be the best time to like to entirely shift right, you know, right this second, because, you know, if you go full time even into your own thing or you try to get a job in a creative field, none of the companies obviously right now are going crazy with hiring in this type of field because of the fact that obviously the work has slowed down for everybody. So, but right now would be a really good time to just continue to create your own content and to get stuff out there for people to see, so that when you decide that you're going to go take something, you know, in a different direction and move on from whatever you're at, you kind of have like, you know, your kit ready to move on. Because if you still have that process to work through and you don't feel like you're obviously at the stage to have exactly what you want to showcase for like a possible job or whatever, then you're going to kind of be at this stage where when you eventually don't want to do it anymore, you're going to suddenly be, you know, not able to do it anyway. So it's like, you're going to, it's better to at least have it ready, or just, you know, you could always have it ready and throw out some feelers to different companies and different people and always kind of just have your ears open to those things. Cause it's like, you don't have to accept any job either. But at the same time, it's at least good that if you don't feel like you love what you're doing, you're not going to probably wake up tomorrow or next week or next month or next year and suddenly love what you're doing. Either make that decision to start doing it or not. So yeah, it's
just
like,
do it.
Yeah.
Just kind of.
So.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
No problem, man.
So I had a lot of people reach out to me for weddings and I was bad at communicating for whatever reason, because I have a, like, you know, you work a full job outside of doing this on the side. And I had like a bunch of people reach out and I just was not good at contacting them. It was like my relationship with the client was not very good. And that's like over 10 people last summer. And I just completely blew it off except for one wedding. And because it just felt like overwhelming. What would be your thought on like how I should maybe try to do like when having so much other stuff, try to balance it?
Hire somebody. Yeah. I mean, if that's not your main living and you are making some decent money with that and you can afford to hire somebody, even if it's part time and their only job is to reply to emails and to talk a little bit about the company, all that kind of stuff, that's what you need to do. Because you're not going to get, not only are you not going to get work if you don't answer people, but it looks really bad on your company if you are not responding to couples. So
yeah.
you need to take care of it somehow. And either the answer is you hire someone part-time that like, hey, your only job is to monitor this email thing. And when an email comes in, you can send some stuff and have some conversations. And then I can be a part of the conversation when they're really ready to like move forward or whatever, you know, whenever that needs to be. But doing what you're currently doing is not going to help you at all. So definitely change that.
Thank you very much.
All right, man. Keep in touch.
I have one quick question for you.
Go for it.
As far as getting second shooters for weddings,
yeah,
what do you find is the most successful way of getting comparable people? I've had a couple of second shooters where I shot the wedding knowing, hey, shoot everything as if you're the only shooter. But I went back and looked at their work and I'm just like, I can't use any of this.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to see, what do you like, how do you reach out to find quality people?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's always tough because when you, if you don't have a consistent second shooter, you're never going to feel like people kind of match your style because you're always just dealing with people that deal with other people that shoot their own things. Like it's going to be really hard to just randomly find people. The best thing to do is to like, I feel like if you're at a stage and like, and I don't know, obviously your skill level or where you're at in any of that, but if you're at a stage where you feel like you really know what you're doing, my biggest recommendation is finding like someone young that's excited about just kind of the opportunity of wanting to learn and literally just train them and get them to come to as many as possible. I don't know how many you do or, you know, whether that's even a possibility for you, but I always find that in a wedding, in the wedding business, you really just need consistency to be able to get anyone to actually do good work. And the only way you really can do that is to either find someone that doesn't have a lot going on and they want to learn, or you have to just have enough money that you can afford to say to someone like, I can guarantee you that you'll be a part of this many weddings per year. You know what I mean? So my philosophy is net, like I've never had all my second shooters that I've ever had at weddings have always been like actual staff for me, which is a huge benefit because they, you know, have to be wherever I say, which is obviously easy for consistency. But that was simply because like when I was looking at the stage of getting a second shooter, I knew that this is a difficulty. Like, and I'm very picky, just like anybody. Everyone would say they're really picky of their own type of work, but it's really hard in the wedding business to be in a situation where like each time you're going to shoot a wedding, you like have to send out a post on, you know, a Facebook thing of like who's available. It just ends up being like a crapshoot. And sometimes you'll get super lucky and get a great shooter. Other times you won't. It's like, I feel like that's kind of disrespectful to me to like do that to a client, to not bring somebody great. So being able to find someone and, you know, obviously that requires money of having consistency and a person and all that kind of stuff. But if there's ways that you can kind of find someone that's really interested in the business or is super new, you can train people to, especially right now where there's not a lot of weddings happening, you can really train right now. And like, you know, you can not shoot a wedding, but still train how to kind of shoot stuff and be able to get a feel for like, here's how I would do lighting if we were doing a groom prep or a bride prep. You can still train people even without weddings. And if you could find some like young person who just really wants to learn video, weddings are such a great training ground for people because they require you to work in crazy situations out of nowhere and get, but you have to try to put in the work before the wedding or else you're going to be screwed on the wedding. And then you don't want to train.
That's what I was
going to
ask. Yeah. Cause I've had, like, I have somebody that's perfect for it.
Yeah.
That she's really hungry, really wants to learn. I've actually hired her for a couple weddings and she did okay, but you know, it's like, there's that teaching that it's hard to do on the wedding day.
Yeah.
And that's so not the time to do on getting it everything for them. So that's my other question was how do you train them? So you're saying do it beforehand.
Yeah, I would definitely train them beforehand. And the way that I normally do it, and like I said, it all depends on obviously like where you're at financially to be able to do anything. But like my whole thing is like I never let someone second shoot with me unless they've like been an assistant at a wedding for three or four weddings even before they shoot with us. Because to me, you know, one of the beauties of YouTube and creating YouTube content is I have a lot of people that would, if I posted like, hey, would love to have an assistant or looking for a new second shooter, a lot of people that would do it. And it's literally one of like the hidden gems of like creating YouTube content, because, you know, I have that YouTube video with the behind the scenes that so many people have seen and so many people have been a part of, that it's easier now for me to reach out and be like, hey, next year, as we start having tons of crazy weddings in 2021, I'm going to be hiring a new shooter or whatever. And I already know that, like, they already have some context even to already how I shoot, because they have that video to watch. Like, my training content is, you know, the 7 or 8 behind the scenes videos that I have on the channel, which is obviously a huge, huge benefit. And so that's why I think that it's also, you know, it's a benefit to creating YouTube content and to like filming, you know, behind the scenes stuff, because it does become your training. Because you can train people, no question about it, the bare minimum you're going to train people on is, you know, how to use the camera, how to make your settings look good and all that kind of stuff. But you can't really train for when something suddenly happens at a wedding if they don't know how to quickly operate a camera and quickly make it happen. So you can still get a lot of it out of the way and do some training in person, like at a wedding, of like something crazy unexpected happens. That might not necessarily go amazing, but if they at least know how to operate the camera really well and know how to get exposure and white balance really quickly, then for the most part, they'll still get the shot and you can kind of make your way through it. But you can't have, you know, someone for the first time come and be like, so this is ISO, this is your shutter. Like, then you're just asking for a disaster.
I guess my second question is kind of like, you have a wide variety of skill sets, and I'll say, like, I feel in some ways similar. I'm a teacher, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. You know, I work as a salesman, I'm a photographer, videographer, I'm a husband, I'm all those things.
Yeah.
And do you ever worry about being like the jack of all trades and master of none?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are there times
100%. That you, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that that's, I absolutely, I mean, I like talk about that all the time, even with like my own company, of making sure that like, if you're known for everything, you're known for nothing, is kind of the other way that I always say it too. And I think that it can be a really dangerous spot in certain aspects for certain people. To me, it's like, I feel like it's the only way that I operate, because the fact that I just get really bored quickly with one thing. So to me, a big piece of doing so many things is honestly just that, like, it keeps me, I get better as a filmmaker if I do something musical, and I could do better with as a filmmaker if I randomly shoot a wedding, or, you know what I mean? Like, if I do random things, and then the YouTube stuff, that keeping fresh and keep doing things nonstop that are just different all the time is what actually helps me, I think, be the best the way that I can possibly be. But I think it is really important for people to not take on too much, because no question about it, you can spread yourself thin and then you're not giving a good effort into any of the actual things you're doing. So usually when I get that indication that it's kind of like, if I can't go wholeheartedly into something, I just don't do it at all, because I know that that's obviously what ends up happening, is I just don't give it a full effort, and that I can't operate that way. So I definitely think that's important. And especially in business, I try to not offer a lot of things in my business for that exact reason.
And then maybe last one before you move on to somebody else. So tomorrow, we've got a big announcement, right? From Canon.
Yeah.
And I think the Sony announcement will be right on the heels of that. I'm mm-hmm. a Sony guy. Mm-hmm. Again, I work for Sony. I'm shooting Sony cameras. You know, what do you have, or what do you expect from these Canon and Sony announcements? Is there something there that really is, you're really excited and looking forward to as a filmmaker?
Yeah, I mean, I try as best as I can to not be obsessed with, like, every single time a new camera comes out, getting it, because obviously you never, ever can keep up with that. I always obviously pay attention to what's happening. And then when something new comes out, I really try my best to, like, actually honestly evaluate and be like, yes, that's great. And yes, it can do this. And yes, it can do this. And it can shoot this and 8K this and 120 frames this. Do I actually use the features that really are the difference in what I actually have? That's kind of how I ultimately decide. Like, if I feel like it doesn't do what I can do, then I look to another camera. I'm obviously extremely intrigued by the R5 and R6 that Canon's coming out with, for the biggest reason being, like, I shoot primarily now on all Canon stuff. Like, we have the C200s as our primary cameras, my EOS R for vlogs, and then we have all the GH5s for, like, the wedding stuff and all that. And I'm definitely intrigued with what they're going to do with it, because we do love our C200s, and if I had another camera that had EOS R style feel, but yet based on, you know, and everything's rumors now, so you don't really know what's there until it's actually out. But it's like, if the rumors are true about having the IBIS and about having 8K and having high frame rate stuff, like, yes, it's very intriguing to me, because just from a standpoint of like, I love my EOS R, and yet it doesn't even do tons of those things. So if they somehow did it and it was as reliable as Canon has been to me, then great. And then the same thing with Sony. Like, I'm not one of those people that's like, I'll shoot Canon forever, I'll shoot this forever. Like, I shot Canon, then I shot all Sony, then I shot all Panasonic, then I shoot half Canon now. Like, I like using the tool that is best for what I do. And if Sony makes a tool that I think is better for what I do based on the type of work we do, that is what I would shoot. Because it's not about, I'm not tied to a brand, I'm tied to what's the camera that gets out of the way. That's the way I ultimately look at it. If a camera helps me do my job and the kind of content that we do better, then I'm all for it.
Basically, I had a question. I just graduated from South Carolina, and nice. I was kind of just wondering how I should like get my name out there, really. Uh-huh. And like, cause I don't know really what I want to do. I went there for media arts.
Yeah.
But I'm still trying to figure out what exactly I want to do, but I want to do something with like videography.
Do you work a full-time job right now?
No, I don't.
And so you have lots of basically free time?
A lot of free time, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I would do is I'd reach out to every single video production company or wedding company or kind of whatever you want. Like you said, if you don't really know yet what you want, then there's really no bad opportunity right now, because the best way to find out what you actually like doing is to do a bunch of things that you end up not liking, because then you kind of quickly figure out, oh, I don't want to do that anymore. But you could reach out in a heartbeat to tons of video production companies, maybe even television stations, radio stations, just anything kind of in the media arts fields, and offer to do an internship, like to just learn a little bit more, because it gets your name in front of those people, but it also just gives you real life experience, which is the most helpful thing that you can get when you start. Because there's tons of companies that, as boring as it might sound at the beginning, you know, as an assistant or something, or an intern in a video production company, that you're helping carry stands and you're helping carry bags and helping, you know, replace batteries and cameras and stuff. You're going to learn a lot from it. And you also, if you're a hard worker and you help them out, opportunities come from it too. Like that's how I hired one of my most recent like people full time, was they came for a free internship and interned for free for 4 months and worked, you know, another job to actually make money for themselves, and ended up loving their work ethic, and then ended up hiring them full time for the work. So the opportunities are definitely there. You just have to, you know, take the chance and just contact tons of people and just go for it. Like that's literally the best thing I could say to do, because, or an intern with a lot of different people. You can intern with a lot of different people simultaneously if you want, because if you have unlimited time, then that's not a problem. So you can really
definitely not a problem.
Yeah, which is awesome, because most people have that problem. And then the other way to get your name out is obviously just to make a lot of stuff for yourself. Create tons of your own YouTube videos, your own things, like whatever the heck you want to make videos about. Definitely do that, because that's the best way that people can actually see like what you are capable of doing. Because even if you apply for an internship or whatever, it's absolutely going to help if you have some sort of credibility behind what you're doing, or else they obviously don't really know who they're even hiring. So that's what I would say for sure.
So how did you break into the commercial space? Of course, I have a bunch of referrals from clients, and I've been more commercial clients than ever. And I've been offering my video services. You know, one of my things in real estate and for commercial is I get myself out there by offering free, mm-hmm. and turning that into, that client comes back after repeat, yep. after repeat, after repeat. It's been one of my things that I know I can get someone in the door and I can hold them. Mm-hmm. My retention rate for a client is 93%.
Yeah.
And I stand on that, because it's how you treat a client and how you honor and respect them and figure out what that looks like. Always, and what they're actually looking for. But the hard thing is getting them in the door and meeting higher paying clients. Mm-hmm. So on average, I get anywhere from $1,000 to $2,500, mm-hmm. but I'm looking to try to break into that 25 to 5 grand, even more, into the cinematography side of things.
Yeah.
And so
Yeah, I mean, for me, the way that all of my work comes is just from the content that I create and push out myself. Mm. So LinkedIn is where all of my business comes from. And some of it is referral from like someone that works with us who might send us the information to someone else in LinkedIn or whatever. But almost all of our business comes from just like the content that I put out personally on the platform, because the whole premise of what I do on LinkedIn is I don't sell anything ever on LinkedIn. So no video I ever put out says anything about like what I do at all. My premise is simply that if I show up nonstop on video in a platform where I want people to see what I do, when they decide that they need video for their company, they're naturally going to think of who they see more than anybody else doing what I do. And in turn,
because it's placement.
They ask.
It's all about placement.
And it's about showing up all the time.
Yep.
And so my content is never like about video. Like it's about what I think makes sense in LinkedIn, which is like leadership and business and team building. Like it's just content that is actually like relevant to those people without ever, ever saying anything about like me doing video. So it doesn't say there's no watermarks, there's no company website things at the end. It's just literally like content. And it's been how I get all of my business. And then obviously word of mouth is a huge aspect in terms of, like you said, when you treat a client well and then you get a client a good result on what they're actually trying to do, they tell other people about what you do when they, when, because, you know, business owners know business owners. It's just how all business works. And so they refer people. And the more and more that you do it, the more that you get that opportunity. And then if you, for us, it's very much about like repeat and ongoing business with people. Like we have mostly all of our clients are like monthly retainer based clients. So we can keep them by just making sure that we actually get them results on what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
We really try hard to make sure that when we produce a video for somebody that they actually get what they want out of it other than the video. Like they, if they want to get more business or get a new demographic to buy their product, we need to make sure that they get the new demographic to buy their product by us creating the video, or else they're not going to hire us again. It doesn't matter how good you do a video. So that's kind of our big thing. But yeah, content is just a huge, huge piece for me of just creating content for me as a
personal
brand. But
you're a boss at, you definitely create content.
Oh, and I try to, and there'll be a lot more coming out soon. I have another person that's coming on board that's just solely to help me produce more. And I just know it to be true. And I just look at it that I'm a practitioner of what I try to tell people to do. Like I tell every company that I talk with in a sales meeting, like you should put out tons of content because it helps you grow your business. But wouldn't it be very hypocritical if I told them to do that? And they're like, well, you don't put anything out. So the reason why I feel like I get all the business from that platform is that when I have a meeting with somebody, a very, let's just say, a random cold meeting with someone that came across my content, and we're sitting in front of me and they're like, you know, tell us about what you do and why it's important. And they say, well, you know, why is it important for me to put out that kind of stuff? And I'm able to say, well, you're sitting with me in the meeting because you saw my stuff on social media. Like you saw my content and I didn't sell to you. It's a very big leverage point when they're like, well, that's kind of true. Like I didn't see you from an ad. I didn't see you from cold calling. I saw you from content and you're telling me to do what you actually do. It's like, I wouldn't really trust hiring a mechanic that doesn't fix their own car. It doesn't make any sense. Cause you'd be like, well, don't you know how to do that? But you think I should use your service, but you don't actually spend the money yourself to use your own service. Like, so that's a huge piece. So all the marketing dollars that I spend to get work is like just me hiring people to help me make content, because I feel like that's like the best marketing that I possibly could do is just getting my face out there more than anybody else. And at the end of the day, I feel like if you do that, then you can grow that way. So it's fun.
Awesome.
That was a lot of fun. I'm glad that that worked. I really want to try that more often because I think it's actually a cool format of how we can do some unique things on YouTube, obviously. And I love doing live streams because I get a chance to actually like connect with people in real time. So hopefully this was fun. Sorry for those that were still in the Zoom call waiting to be brought in. We're definitely going to do it again. And I'm going to think about possibly doing something like this on YouTube like weekly for like an hour, once a week or maybe even a couple times a week, because I really like this format. It's a great way, I think, for me to continue to connect with you guys. So thank you so much for hanging out. I will do this again very soon. And have a good evening. Thanks for hopping on.